Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Stiff Upper Lip Podcast. We're back after a sort of three-week hiatus, and it's nearly Christmas, guys. No Ed today, so joining me to the downside of where I am in the window. Max, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. How you doing up there?
Yeah, I'm all right. Oh, in a big spot. And to my right, who I had to mute, catching him just as he was about to start laughing in the middle of the intro, it's Sam Longdon. How are you, Sam?
Hi, I'm great. I'm buoyed by the knowledge that my co-hosts respect me and my opinions, and it really makes me excited for the next hour.
Yeah. You know what? At the end of the podcast, we'll be like this. You know what, Sam? You really made some great points today. Well done.
Pointer status retracted.
Yes. Since it is the lead up to Christmas, we've been taking a little peek behind the curtain and having a look and seeing what's going on with some NFL coaches around the NFL as they head to Christmas. They've sort of left it a little bit late with these letters here, but we've been out here intercepting, and we've received all of their letters.
I mean, Santa gets around the world in literally, you know, 12 hours or less, so I don't think getting the letters a week in advance would be is going to throw off the whole operation.
Don't you know, though, he's got to be checking whether or not somebody's naughty or nice. If you send him a letter too late, then that's too much paperwork for one man to have to deal with.
Yeah,
cut Santa some slack.
It's a busy time of year. He's got a bunch of podcasts to do. I think he's on high performance.
High performance.
You bastard. You fucker. You clever fucker.
How did the transition from sherry to milk like really help you like step it up?
Well, it's drunk driving laws, wasn't it?
You still wanted in Finland.
No, drink driving in Finland is not a problem.
That's the official podcast stance.
Yeah, drink driving in Finland, not an issue.
If you're listening to this and you're Finnish, then, well...
How about you finish that beer and hop in your
Mazda 3? I've done it.
They don't have Mazda 3s in Finland. Come on. It's literally like my summer car. That's based on real life. Really, really strong interpretation of real life.
I think I know one of the most like stereotypical Finnish people. By the way, just listens to very obscure Finnish heavy metal music. Big fan of canned fish. Huge ice hockey fan. The most fucking blunt individual of all time as well. Shout out just, Blake. Let's get it.
Just gonna a bit nuts from lack of sunlight.
Yeah, it really does a number on him.
Wouldn't it do a number on anybody?
It's oh, gotcha.
Finnish name.
But like, I don't live in Finland.
That's fair enough. So we've got three letters on the docket. Who wants to read out the letter that they've intercepted first?
I am quite excited personally for Tom's, so I feel like, given that it might have more of a narrative to it, we should leave it till last.
That sounds like quite a good idea. You know,
so I'm perfectly happy going first.
Okay, well, who did you intercept a letter from? Of Royal Mail, 24-hour tracked.
I was actually stood on the roof of my apartment building and managed with incredible aerial agility to leap up and snatch a letter directly from a big old sack on some dude's sleigh. I don't know how many guys have sleighs, but, you know.
Absolutely leaps into the air for the classic sack grab.
Yeah. And I, you know, got back down onto the roof, and there were a bunch of, like, really thin, straggly mustache hairs on it. And it says, "Dear Santa," by Arthur Smith.
Well, go on then. Let's hear it.
"Dear Santa, I have a confession. I'm getting a little less excited for Christmas this year. I know how great my presents have seemed the last few years, and I don't know whether it's me or the toys, but something always seems to go wrong, you know. My Deluxe Drake London action figure seemed perfect out of the box, like his turbo legs and his fully functioning extendo arms, but he doesn't really work all the time. Maybe it's because I keep giving him to Desmond, my dad's dumb little bulldog, and he keeps chewing him up and leaving bits of him everywhere. Just like what happened with my Kyle Pitts. I don't know. And don't get me started on my Bijan sickle. It's way faster than all my friends' ones, and his brakes are amazing, can do so many tricks, but if anyone else gets on, he's perfect, you know. As soon as I get on and jam a stick in the spokes just how I like it and crashes straight away, what gives, you know? Anyway, get me something that works straight away this year that Desmond won't ruin, otherwise I think Dad might send me to the orphanage. Kindly, Arthur Smith."
That came in so nicely. We even got a little bit of audio footage of him writing it. It was like it was sort of in tune with the letter. That was great. I quite liked him talking about Drake London Deluxe action figures not working out of the box when it's almost entirely his fault that it's not worked out of the box.
Oh, don't tell him that. He doesn't seem to have quite wrapped his head around that part.
No, he's not quite figured out the batteries not included sign is a warning and not a suggestion. Yeah, fair enough. Well, I quite enjoyed that. I think Arthur Smith, he's sort of wishful thinking to be asking for yet another promising toy this Christmas when he's clearly not to be trusted with any of them. They're all sort of broken and strewn across his bedroom floor.
Yeah,
he's very much giving off the feeling of, you know, you go somewhere with a kid and there's a gift shop and the kid's like, "Oh, I need this. I need this from the gift shop." And it's like, you know you don't. We all know, and you're going to get it, and then within a month you'll forget it exists. And then we're stuck with yet another plastic dinosaur. So maybe learn your lesson, Arthur, and show some respect
you know,
Santa.
I went to school with a fella who basically, like, his parents were pretty well off, but he used to get, like, loads and loads of cool stuff. But
sorry,
had...
was it actually Arthur Smith?
Well, it might have been, you know. But
his parents were pretty well off.
Like, well, yeah,
the creative community was pretty big.
Yeah, and he would get, like, some of the coolest things that, like, we could only, I could basically only sort of hope for, like, if I asked for nothing for 5 years, I might be able to get, like, one of them. And I went around to his house once, being like, "Oh, we get to play with some of this cool stuff." All of it broken. Absolutely all of it was broken. There wasn't a single, like, toy. He had, like, this sort of limited edition, you know, the Droidica. It was like a sort of golden purple one, but it was, like, a really rare figure. He had one of those. It was just broken in half. I was really gutted, and when I got home, I stopped asking for things for Christmas because I was like, well, if this is what this guy does when he's got cool shit, what the hell am I going to do?
So, yeah, it's an important lesson to learn.
Yeah, I'm just living up to the high performance side of things. I thought, you fucker. Yeah. But you clever fucker. You stupid prick. But he taught me a valuable lesson that day. All right. Max, do you... did you...
Straight from the office, man. I have managed to find a letter. It actually came up, washed up ashore in a bottle, which is quite strange. I don't think the person who sent this has a full grasp on where Santa traditionally lives.
How he operates.
Or they're hoping for some insane climate change. I fear that this letter was put together slightly more rapidly and less thoughtfully than Sam's. But it is quite an intriguing one, and it reads, "Dear Santa, it's me again, your special little boy, Kyle. I'm writing to you, as I always do this time of year, to ask for a favour. Look, we both know what's going to happen. I've got all of these shiny toys, and I really do love playing with them. But around this festive period, and into the new year, something happens to me every year, Santa. We both know it's going to happen. And so this year, I'm asking for something a little different. Rather than giving me, you know, a nice shiny ring, or a healthy roster, what I really want is another excuse. Look, it's apparent to everyone that my teams are a buzzsaw at this time of year. You know, there's something about that Thanksgiving period when people are really festive, the gonks are out in force, and all those creepy little elf on the shelf type families are doing their thing that really gets my teams going. And we revel in it, we really do enjoy it, and I'm not saying that we take it for granted, but I just get scared, man. Can I be honest with you, Santa? The lights get too bright, and I forget how to do my job. So, what I really need is a reason. Something that people will say, it's okay that my winning percentage as a head coach is around 500, and that he hasn't won a ring because X thing happened. Basically, I'm asking for a meteor strike. If you could deliver that, I would be very grateful. Yours eternally, Kyle Shanahan."
Wow. That was that was a sort of scathing review there of the elf on a shelf gonks from Kyle Shanahan.
Let's be honest, like, elf on a shelf. A lot of things about Christmas these days are just it's just a bit weird, isn't it? It's just social media.
Yeah.
It's social media, mate.
Yeah, that was certainly something. I don't really have anything to sort of add to Kyle Shanahan asking for an excuse.
Super Bowl 41 seems to 51 seems to really dent his psyche.
Yeah. Everyone's really gonna, you know, cut in a bit of slack when they find out that John Lynch hired an $80 Grinch to come to the facility, and then he pulled juice all over his like play sheets.
Mate, the exchange rate is always $80 Grinch. That's cheap as hell. He's not be able to afford a full bottle of juice at that rate. I can tell you that much.
Kyle Shanahan's going to get into his like post Super Bowl presser after he's just lost and said, "Well, we would have been fine, but Kurt Benneket leaked my entire play sheet on a Madden video that one time." So,
hacker's legend.
Yeah, unfortunately, it would sort of stuck without that. They had a
Thought it would be okay, but Brock Purdy started suffering from the phantom Zach Wilson head injury. He just went into the locker room and was like, "It's a head injury. Is it a concussion? No." Oh, okay.
What actually did happen with that, by the way?
They said he was being treated for dehydration, but then they said that he was in the concussion protocol. So he basically just quit.
Yeah, sounds like his head just went. Poor guy. He couldn't help it. All right, well, I guess last on the docket is me, who thankfully I was able to, while rummaging around in the bins outside Nissan Stadium this past Friday.
It's called the Stadium of Light. Sorry, very niche joke there.
Yeah, I was able to find something that I think it might have been like a first draft, perhaps. So let's Let's have a little listen, shall we? What's the matter, Santa? Hope you're all good, my man. Mike Vrabel riding. Titans coach I am. I've nary a favor, barely asked you for much, and usually you've repaid me with such. We dealt with John Robinson, as useless as was, and broke Mr. Tannehill, for that we say soz. We gifted the Eagles both AJ and Reed, and asked of them nothing, just did them a deed. It isn't all gloomy, that wasn't the premise, for a strapping young fella goes by the name Levis. With his arm strength apparent, his talent and might, we've found our quarterback, though his ankle ain't right. A shiny new home is on our horizon, and sponsorship's growing with Swift and Verizon. Yet there be a problem that we can all see. It seems that we're struggling. Where is King Henry? We've looked round the concourse, we've checked all the stalls, yet he's not been found, hair sausage and all. So I write with one humble request. Please send back dear Derek, back to his best. Our team needs an answer, a wing and a prayer. So help me, dear Santa, please quell my despair. Sincerely, Mike.
Wow. That was beautiful. That was Dickensian in a good way.
Yeah.
Derogatory.
Didn't know we had it in him.
I wonder what the second draft looked like as well.
Yeah, I mean,
like, he screwed up the thing and was like, no, I don't like this. It's not becoming of me.
No, he's definitely probably had to go back to the drawing board at least three times there, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I think he's asking for like a Rudolph-type figure to step in, maybe.
Yeah. Although I'm quite surprised, really, that he mentioned Swift and Verizon midway through, especially considering that one of them is defunct. So
yeah, he's probably looking for that. Looking for that. And, like his second draft, he was like, "Ah, Santa's gonna know, isn't he?"
So yeah, I mean, who'd have thought Mike Vrabel, poet, and he didn't even know that he was rhyming those words.
Well, oh, hang on, I've just found something on the floor. It's a wet post-it note. It looks like it's tear stained, and in a shaky scroll it says, "Dear Santa, please, for Christmas, can I be put out of my misery? Kind regards, Ron Rivera."
Oh no. This poor guy, he suffered so much. And that's just from being Commander's head coach.
Washington effect.
Yeah. It's time to really go ahead and start to take command.
I'm really excited to go ahead and start to take command.
That was a nice little exercise there. I'm really glad that we got to have a little peek into the psyche of some of these head coaches around Christmas time.
Do you think there were any we didn't intercept? Like they all did one, or do you think we just have 100% interception rate?
Well, I know that we've had more career interceptions than Jamal Adams, so big spot. Yeah. Okay. Well, there we have it. Merry Christmas, everyone. We do have one other thing that we want to get onto, but first of all, let us figure out what that is, and we'll see you very shortly. All right, we're back. As we are now heading towards basically the very end of the season, we've only got a month left, if that, maybe more, sort of 3 weeks, really? 4 weeks? Yeah, 4 weeks. And over those 4 weeks, there's plenty at stake in the NFL. This truly baffling season of injuries, collapses, and shock rises has left us a little bit in the wilderness. But what is most at stake for some of these coaches, teams, franchises, etc., players, etc.? So, Max, do you want to hit us first with what you think is most at stake heading down the stretch?
Yeah, I certainly can. It's been a bit of a paradoxical year. As you said, it's been a lot of parity, and somehow it feels like there's a lot of teams who aren't relevant, or you wouldn't think they were relevant in the normal year, but this year actually they're right in the thick of the playoff race. And the NFL has a funny thing of has a funny way of making irrelevant teams, or seemingly irrelevant teams, come to the fore as we reach the crucible of the season. And talking of mediocre dross that you would normally want to disregard that are right in the thick of the playoff race, I thought I'd talk about the NFC South, coming off a week where, you know, the Bucks went and shredded the Packers in Lambeau. The Saints took care of business, easily won their match, and then the Falcons lost 7-9 in an empty, rained-out stadium in Charlotte to the Panthers. It's a bit of a mess, the division. I would say none of these teams are particularly inspiring. The Bucks, I think, are the team that are hitting their stride at the right time. They're on top of the division. They're 7-7. Saints are 7-7, and the Falcons are 6-8. And the Panthers are 2-12, of course. But what matters to me is that this division feels like, even if teams are finishing, you know, one game off the division title, they're probably not going to finish in the wild card at this point. So to me, the winner of this division, that coach and that GM, probably get to keep their job, and everyone else is going to get cleared out. And what's funny about that is, even though the Bucks shredded the Packers, I was on Twitter during the game, looking at, you know, Bucks tweets and stuff. And what I noticed was they weren't happy about one particular thing. They were saying, oh, great, now Todd Bowles is going to keep his job. So, I mean, it goes without saying that Saints fans are sick of Dennis Allen, and Falcons fans are sick of our boy Artie Smith. So who wants to win this division if it means keeping their coach? I don't know what you guys think. I don't know whether you guys think this actually is relevant because these teams are so mediocre. But yeah, that's my take on one thing that is at stake.
That's quite interesting as well, because I think the whole division, like you say, is sick of their head coaches. And I think that this is one of the first times that might have ever happened. Like, a whole division with no hope going forward, it feels like, under their current coaching staff. It's truly baffling. I have to say, respect.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes all you can do is laugh. And the NFC South is a bit of a laughing stock. I don't know. God, can you just... I have to say, Todd Bowles is the only one who I can envision being there next year. I can't imagine Dennis Allen being in New Orleans next year. I can quite clearly picture Arthur Smith still being in Atlanta, still pulling like that same gormless face that he does pull on the sidelines. So it would make no sense, and it would be an affront to professional sports, but maybe he could still be there actually.
Fair enough. Oh, go on.
Do any other fan bases, you know, I've not been, you know, white hot on the, you know, NFC South fan watch, but do the other, like, groups have such a visceral hatred of their own team as Saints fans do?
I don't think there are. Bears fans are pretty sick of their team, but they're more angry. Sick, they're more angry at the coaches than the players. To be fair, I think for Saints fans, it is like the coach and Derek Carr. And,
yeah,
it's not really
the poor brew that they've made.
Mm. Jets fans, I think, are probably quite sick.
Yeah. It feels like Jets fans are sort of... They'd have usually been quite forgiving for Robert Saleh for, like, the fact that they were given the hope of Aaron Rodgers and then he immediately went down, like, four plays into the season. But I think it's the whole sticking by Zach Wilson for 5 weeks too long that was the real problem. I did call that right, though. May I just quickly remind everyone that when you were all like, "No, they're gonna move on from Zach Wilson," I was like, "No, they're gonna stick by him and they're gonna keep playing him. They're gonna keep starting him." Was I right? Begrudgingly, yes.
I'll give you half a point.
You can give me the full point, because what did I say would happen is that they would be too stubborn and stupid, which is what happened. I'm saying that's a win.
66% of a point.
If you made that prediction 148 times, I would get that right 131 of those. So I think I deserve 0.861.
That doesn't mean you were more deserving of more of a point, because surely that meant it was way more likely and we were just idiots.
No, well, I mean, yeah, that is also the truth, but I will still take my point as a full point, nevertheless.
I think it wasn't that they ever had that much faith in Zach Wilson or they were that stubborn about it. I think adversely, they were stubborn about their options behind him and thought that there was a chance that Tim Boyle or Trevor Siemian would work.
I don't think they saw how... Why are we talking about the Jets?
Yeah, why are we doing it? this is my fault. I'm very sorry.
Isn't it always?
But staying in the AFC
East...
That's
fine. I'm docking you 0.02 of a point for that one.
Staying in the AFC East, my thing that's most at stake is first place in the AFC East. Now, obviously, everybody was sort of talking about the cakewalk schedule of the Miami Dolphins going forward and what have you, and that is true. However, one thing that's been very much a point regarding this has been that they can't beat teams over 500, and they are about to play, hear me out, the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas Eve, the Baltimore Ravens on New Year's Eve, and then the Buffalo Bills on the 7th of January.
I didn't realize it was like that. Titans loss is pretty disastrous.
That Titans loss has really opened the gates for a Buffalo Bills first place in the AFC East, because the Bills have got the Chargers, the Patriots, and then that crucial Dolphins game. That is what is most at stake for me down the stretch. First place in the AFC East, and what may end up turning into a home run down the playoffs until a potential meeting with Baltimore. That is huge. And it all comes down to that 7th of January, providing that the Dolphins can't pick up a win.
Yeah, so if the Dolphins win against the Cowboys at home and away at Baltimore, it won't matter. But it's likely, perhaps, that they'd go 1-1 in those games. Maybe even the Cowboys traveling to Miami, I kind of think they might get cooked. That Baltimore game does loom large. And also that Baltimore game might even have first one overall seed.
Like first in the AFC. Yeah. So that's...
But I think it's a great point that you make there. A full point, if you will. because the Dolphins do not want to have to go anywhere in the playoffs.
No.
They really don't.
And do you know what they would like to go to even less than anywhere else is Buffalo, I think. And
where they got slapped earlier this year, 48-20.
Going into Buffalo in January with this team playing as ferociously as I think I've ever seen a Buffalo Bills team in my lifetime, especially, is frankly terrifying. They are really a team that I am like fully on board with for making the Super Bowl at this point.
I don't know. That kind of reminds me of what we were saying about the Bengals earlier this year. I mean, obviously that was a Joe Burrow injury, but we kind of had that same thought of like, they're back. They're here now. That's the same team we always know. I don't think it's quite the same, because even though the Bills just manhandled the Cowboys, Josh Allen had like 7 completions in that game, or 9 completions, or something like that. So it's not the same Bills team, but I think we were expecting them to turn it on eventually. I think they've done quite well the last few weeks defensively to overcome some of the injuries they've had.
Do you know what I'd argue, though, is that the Bills figuring out that they can run the ball and run the ball well makes them more terrifying than when they were just slinging it for 350 yards with Josh Allen, because sometimes that isn't sustainable. Not in January, not in freezing cold temperatures in Buffalo. But you know what is sustainable? Is running the damn football with two complementary backs giving it all. And James Cook like really turned it on against the Cowboys. And that, to me, is what has me slightly worried about anyone going into Buffalo. And that's why I think if the Dolphins let the Bills in and let them get that home playoff run, oh, that is terrifying. So that's what's
about up. It was about as encouraging a win as you could get, both vis-a-vis the running game and vis-a-vis the defense, which, as yet undermanned, has kind of been righted. The Buffalo airliner, if you will, was right on course for failure.
Yes. Yeah.
And Sean McDermott,
failure?
He kind of hijacked it.
Oh,
he's just taking it where he wants it to go. And I don't know where that's going to end up. Hopefully somewhere good. But, you know.
Good is subjective.
He's grabbed the joystick and he's pointing this plane in now a very different direction.
It is balls to the walls down up there in Buffalo. Because you know balls on the walls is an aeronautical term.
Yeah.
Because of the fighter pilots.
Yeah.
They have a little ball on the end of their joystick, and they push it forwards to the wall when they want to go fast.
I did see a thing that was Sean McDermott's like pre-match presser with like how aggressive they were playing against the Cowboys. It was like he was dedicating that game to the brave Mujahideen fighters of Afghanistan.
When you say, I'm not like a plane guy, when you say those little balls on the joystick, are we talking like a spirit level kind of thing? Or like a truck?
No, literally like the design of it was just like a stick with a ball on the top. Like an old school arcade machine.
Oh, just like one stick with like
a ball on
like
it,
a,
yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to read Sean McDermott's letter to Santa because it gets put us on the watch list. What?
Sean McDermott's actually not allowed to write letters to any airborne foreign vehicles, that's for sure.
He's like, Santa, please take him out.
Sam, when you're editing later, if you are editing, would you be able to clip yourself saying, I'm not a plain guy for me? Thanks.
Yeah.
J-E-T-S. Jets, yeah. Jets.
fantastic. All right. Sam, have you thought of what's most at stake?
So, this is for a very specific subset of the NFL. It's not necessarily what is most at stake, grand scheme of things, but the Philadelphia Eagles are at risk of becoming, dare I say it, bottle jobs. Something needs to change. The defense is spinning out. This window isn't going to stay open forever.
They did make a change to the defense. Something that should fix everything.
They need to do something to make a statement and make a change and like really get teams to take them seriously and people to take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they've chosen to do this is by appointing Matt Patricia as the defensive play caller.
Now, in all but title, Yeah. In all name, he is the defensive coordinator now.
Yeah. Which is allegedly because Sean Desai didn't exude enough confidence. And I don't know whether... If Matt Patricia does exude any confidence, I don't know whether it's possible that it could be any less earned. And I don't understand why this change has been made at such a crucial point in the season. And it could absolutely kibosh this team. And I don't understand the decision-making process for a team that wasn't really meeting the, you know, the massive expectations set from last year. And it has me completely spun. So I think that what matters most for the Philadelphia Eagles might be immediately changing their minds and firing Matt Patricia.
Bold.
I mean, it is bold. I think Matt Patricia, obviously, was a joke for the Lions.
He was then a joke with the Patriots again.
Yeah. Where he was the offensive coordinator, to be fair. On the other hand, you talked about his confidence levels. I think he had really, if anything, too high confidence levels when he was in college, if you recall that story. So I wish him nothing but the worst. In conclusion, whatever. I just don't understand. What? He wasn't exuding enough confidence, Sean Desai. So they got. He was in the meetings like, guys, I just well, if we could try covering. I know this one. I know this one. He was in a team meeting with the defense, and he flubbed his words, and then he just went like, sorry, I'm not. He's like, sorry, my brain isn't wording today, and they just got such a bad ick. They were like, get out of here.
Breaking news, courtesy entirely of Ian Rappaport. It's completely unrelated, but I think it's breaking news anyway. The NFL has suspended DeMonte Casey without pay for the remainder of the regular season and any potential postseason games.
They Kareem Jackson'd him.
They did, yeah. Except I don't think that Kareem Jackson has been suspended indefinitely.
No, I think he was, yeah.
Oh,
I thought it was...
I thought it was for the end of the season.
No, I thought that it was he got suspended for like a week.
I thought it was another four games.
Yeah, yeah. They suspended him for four games as opposed to for the rest of the year.
So is he coming back?
Yeah, well, apparently so.
I think he might be.
Which is... funny. But yeah, so DeMonte Casey suspended for the rest of the NFL season.
I wonder if he'll appeal that. Although he is a dirty player, I must admit.
Oh, he is. The hit
remember that
got
hit on Cam Newton as well?
Yes. The hit that got him suspended is very much a play that would have gotten you suspended.
Yeah, on Pittman was pretty... It was a hospital ball from Minshew, but you still can't really go around doing that.
No.
I saw a tweet that was like, how's that a flag? He kept his head out of it. It was like, yeah, he kept his head out of it, but he hit Pittman in the head. It's the other guy's head you have to worry about. Sometimes.
Yeah, the quote tweeted the image, and it was like a still image, but you could see Michael Pittman's head. Like, it looked like it had sort of been like Rock'em Sock'em roboted off of his head. It was pretty terrible. Brutal.
Yeah. And he was suspended last year as well, wasn't he? Because for substance abuse, so that probably factored into.
Yeah, I believe so. So yeah, there's some breaking news. Anyway, carry on with Sean Desai.
Just as an aside, Kareem Jackson had a meeting with Roger Goodell that he said did not go as he wanted to.
Who said that, Kareem?
Kareem Jackson. And he then
smacked Goodell in the head.
He sent a thank you note to Goodell for meeting with him, and he attached like ups of like other like unflagged bits that didn't get penalized.
Right, so he was basically...
I can't help but think you guys are singling me out.
He was basically saying he wanted to completely not be suspended and have an apology letter, and Goodell was like, oh, no. Oh, any final thoughts on Michael Patricia?
No, everyone had their thoughts on Matt Patricia, generated over, like, what, 6 years of garbage.
That Patriots coaching team that was Patricia, McDaniels and Belichick, the shine has come off. I hate to say it.
At
least they fixed it with Joe Judge.
At least they fixed it with Bill O'Brien, right, guys? Anyway, let's get on out of here. We'll see you all potentially. Well, actually, next week is
Might even be the new year. Yeah.
It might even be the new year. Keep safe. Don't drink and drive.
Unless you're Finnish.
He's not Finnish. He's only 28.
Santa, if you're listening, do us a favor. Give us some competitive teams.